Good morning, church. Welcome to your community church of Vero Beach, United Church of Christ. I've met a couple of visitors coming in today, guests today. We hope you'll come again and make yourself at home. We are one campus and one body, worshiping here in C2 and worshiping across the courtyard and the sanctuary at the same time. I'm Dr. Anna Copeland. I'm the senior minister here at the Community Church of Vero Beach. I know you're disappointed. Drew's not here, but Drew is on mission right now in the Bahamas for the second time this summer with a group of kids who have gone to work in one of the places, one of the outlying islands where they have still not fully recovered from the hurricanes, the last hurricane season, and to give them hope and encouragement and to strengthen it and increase the faith of our young people. How great is that? I'm so excited. Yeah, I'm so excited about that. Dave and Elizabeth, Reverend Dave and Elizabeth, are on vacation right now. So as I am the only minister in residence, I'm here for the first half today. I'll scoot next door and preach from there, and you'll see me here. And Reverend Lori Farrell, I've just ordained her. She's one of our deacons, and she'll be helping you with prayer and scripture. And our ministers of music, our great band, is going to sing us in and out today and lead us to heaven. So let's worship God, shall we? Are you ready? All right, let's do it.
Life was gonna fly away. All I wanted was a promise that you take away my pain. Oh, won't you take away my pain? I didn't want to be used to engage. I just wanted to use you to be my escape. And then you taught me how to pray. Oh yeah, you taught me how to pray. Let your kingdom come here in my heart. Let me be the place where heaven starts. Open up the gates that blind my eyes. You're making me paradise. Heaven, heaven, heaven is now. See the pearly gates. Let me bring your grace into this world and recreate. I'm not gonna wash my hands and say let it burn. I wanna burn with your love instead. Let your kingdom come here in my heart. Let me be the place where heaven starts. Open up the gates that blind my eyes. You're making me paradise. Heaven, heaven, heaven is now.
My city streets like they are paved with gold. See my Savior's face in every stranger's eyes. You brought heaven here, so I'm not waiting till I die. I wanna bring heaven everywhere I go. Walk my city streets like they are paved with gold. See my Savior's face in every stranger's eyes. You brought heaven here, so I'm not waiting till I die.
It's here when we learn to love. When we're forgiving one another. Getting glimpses every day.
Yeah.
case you couldn't tell, we're talking about heaven today, eternal things. We're talking about God's kingdom on earth as in heaven. We're talking about heaven when we go to eternal life, and we're talking about the future when heaven and earth are healed and made whole at the end of time. So as we open our hearts and minds and spirits to worship today, I invite you to take a moment and pray with me. We thank you, God, for worship this morning, no matter what has brought us to this place. Some of us have come discouraged, some lonely, some dizzy, some filled with grief, some excited about some remarkable thing that's happened and they can't wait to share it. But whatever has brought us to this place, oh God, this day, we know that you are here. Your Holy Spirit is filling this place through the music and prayers and word and the intention of our hearts. We pray that you would bind us, heal us, restore us, and bring us to your perfect light. For this day and all that's in it, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And may all God's people say, Amen.
Amen.
Blessed are the meek with the world at your feet. Blessed when it's righteousness that you seek. It's beautiful, beautiful, like a city on a hill, lighting up the night for the glory of the Lord. Rise and shine.
God does call us to be a beautiful city on the hill, a light to all nations, a hope for all people by how we love one another and care for one another. We know that this world can be a hard place. We, in our daily lives, there can be judgment, criticism, division between peoples in our family and in the places where we work and play. But when we come to this place, we experience the peace of Christ beyond all human understanding. Jesus said, peace I give you, peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. All manner of things shall be well. Please greet one another today with the peace of Christ.
All right, guys, ready? Here we go. One.
There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. And all you need is faith to hear the measles humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. Woo! The train to Jordan, picking up passengers from coast to coast. Yeah. Faith is the key, open doors and bore them. And there's a room for all amongst those that love the most. Just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the measles humming. You don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord. Whoa.
Thank you, Tony. We're going to be talking in a few minutes from over in the sanctuary about the baggage that you can and can't take with you to heaven. So that was a perfect cue up today. Thank you so much. I want to share just a couple of things with you by way of community words. I know there are just a couple of you here who are connected to the children of the church. C3 Camp starts this week, all week long. It's our music and fine arts camp. And next Sunday, the children, at the beginning of worship, share some of their music and dance at the beginning. So if that's something that you're connected with those kids and you want to go over at the beginning and come on back, nobody's going to mind if you come in once worship has started here. They'll be over there till the passing of the peace. So please pray for Rachel Carter Murphy today leading that camp and all of us who will be involved in nurturing the kids and the creativity of those children. And then next Sunday we'll be talking about creativity, that God has given all of us gifts to give God glory and praise, whatever they may be. Even if we can't carry a tune in a basket like Tony, you're just great. So thank you so much for that. I also wanted you to know something you might not know. As part of the United Church of Christ, we have a national denomination with a general minister and president, and they meet not every year, but every so often, and this is the time to elect a new general minister and president of the worldwide church. And for the first time, the United Church of Christ has elected Karen Georgia Thompson as its president and general minister, the first woman president of the United Church of Christ. But there's better news than that. Thompson is a Jamaican immigrant. She is the leader of the mainline Protestant denomination of 770,000 worldwide members, elected by more than 600 delegates at our General Synod recently in Indianapolis. And there were two women previously nominated in 89 and 99. She currently serves as our Officer for Global Concerns and Interfaith Relations, and formerly was the denomination's minister for racial justice. We're so proud to be part of the United Church of Christ, where God welcomes, invites, and embraces all God's people and works for that day when heaven is indeed on earth. Isn't that great news? I knew you'd want to know. You're the first to know. I haven't shared that with anybody yet. So, yeah, I'm so excited about that. Please take a look at what's on the back of your cue sheet as we continue in worship today. There's so much going on here, but mostly the Spirit of God is in this place. Lives are being changed here and throughout the community, and we pray for God to bless us and strengthen us and send us to do God's work in the world. Amen? Amen. I'll see you on the other side in a minute.
Good morning. I'm going to read Revelations 21, 1 through 4. Our scripture reading for this morning. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them. They will be God's peoples, and God himself will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And from John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and God the Father will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you."
Tender and beautiful song. I'm glad that I got to hear it at early service today. Thank you, Rachel. I've been over at C2 this morning, and that crowd is warmed up and excited about this day. This is the day our God has made, and we're so grateful to be alive and to be in this place today to talk about matters of heaven. So again, this morning, good morning to all of you over in C2. I got to greet you first today. And all of you who are at home, whether you are nearby or very far away, we are one body in Christ, united in worship, united in faith, whether gathered or scattered. I wanted to start today by reminding you of a little song. For those of you who are folk music enthusiasts, some of you really love John Prine, and some of you have never heard of him. Any John Prine fans in the audience today? A few. John Prine died a couple of years ago of COVID-related illnesses, and he was 73 years old. He wrote hundreds of songs that you would recognize sung by other people over time. But this one he wrote about heaven. When I get to heaven, I'm going to shake God's hand. I'm going to thank God for more blessings than one man can stand. I'm going to get a guitar, and I'm going to start a rock and roll band. Check into a swell hotel. Ain't the afterlife grand? Then I'm going to get a cocktail, vodka and ginger ale. I'm going to smoke a cigarette that's 9 miles long. I'm going to kiss that pretty girl on the tilt-a-whirl because this old man is going to town. And then, as God is my witness, I'm getting back into show business. I'm going to open up a nightclub called the Tree of Forgiveness and forgive everybody who ever done me any harm. Well, the song goes on where he talks about all the people in his life who have taught him how to enjoy life, and those who taught him how to love. He thanked God for his mothers and aunts and uncles. Love all around. Well, every one of us could write a song or a poem about heaven, couldn't we? We imagine what it's like when that day comes. Even if we can't carry a tune in a basket, and some days I'm not sure John Prine could, but we loved him anyway, a little bit like Dylan that way. We live this life in the reality of God's love and the hope of heaven. Please pray with me as we open this conversation this morning. We thank you, God, for this spectacular day that you've made, for life and breath, and for being with us in every circumstance. Whatever has brought us to worship today, sorrow or joy, anxiety or rest, we are so blessed to be able to sing you thanks and praise and to pray prayers of gratitude and to encourage one another in faith. Open our eyes to see and our ears to hear your word among us, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be an acceptable offering to you, for you, O God, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Elaine, would you hand me the glass of water by that chair for me, please? I had my jogging high heels on today when I ran over here, so I need a moment. You didn't know they made those, did you? We all tell stories about heaven to stir our imaginations and our hearts in faith. We also tell stories about heaven to insert humor into the uneasy fact that to gain entrance into heaven and stay there, we'll no longer be here. The story is told about a man who died and went to heaven. He was met at the pearly gates by St. Peter, who led him down the golden streets. They went past mansion after mansion until they came to the end of a street where they stopped in front of a shack. The man asked Peter why he got the hut when there were so many beautiful mansions as far as the eye could see. Peter replied, "I did the best I could with the money you sent us." There's another story about a man who found out it was his time to go to heaven. He asked the Lord if he could bring along just one thing. The Lord said, "No, you can't take it with you. You know the rules." He said, "Please, I really want to bring just this one thing." "No." The answer is no, you can't take it with you. He prevailed third time. God said, "Okay, fine. Bring it along." So he got a suitcase and he opened it up and he filled it with gold and he lugged it off to heaven. When he arrived at the pearly gates, the angel said, "You can't come in here with that. Don't you know the rules? You can't bring anything with you." He said, "The Lord said I could." All right, come on in. But we're just curious, what's in that luggage? He opened it up. Pavement, they said. Streets paved with gold, pavement, you get it? The 8:30 service got it and they weren't awake yet. There was an old mountaineer who had lived a full but not exactly a saintly life. He was now on his deathbed. He summoned his weeping wife, Sarah. He said, I want you to go to the fireplace and pull off the third brick up from the bottom. And she did, and she pulled out this giant mason jar. He said, it was full of money. He said, I'm about to die. I want you to go up to the attic and set it on the windowsill so that when I get ready to fly, I'll catch it on my way out and take it with me. So she did. She put it upstairs. She put it in the attic, as he had said. That night, the old mountaineer did indeed die. And after the funeral, his wife remembered what she had done. And she went up, because she remembered the mason jar, to check on it in the attic. But it was still sitting there full of money and by the window. Oh, no, she said. I knew I should have put it in the basement. You ask for it. Just a few weeks ago, when I was taking requests for sermons for the summer, you asked for a sermon about heaven and about hell. We scheduled the sermon for heaven today, a topic we've discussed in recent years. You've heard me preach about this before. And we saved hell for next Sunday. However, there's one small problem. C3 camp is this week, so next week all the children are here to share from the Music and Fine Arts camp that begins tomorrow. So upon reflection, we decided that instead of talking about hell next week with the children, we'd talk about creativity as a gift from God. Hell will have to wait. The last time we discussed heaven, we reflected on near-death experiences and the stories of those resuscitated after glimpsing heaven and then yanked back to this earthly realm for a longer time. I have several books on it. Some of you put a couple of more books and personal stories on my desks after I preached that sermon. At that time, we considered through eyes of faith what lessons we can learn from their experiences and how their fantastic stories of the beauty and joy of the other side give us hope. Today, we're going to reflect on heaven in three ways. First, we'll reflect on Jesus' prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Heaven on earth and our participation in it, not just in the sweet by and by, but right now. Secondly, we'll reflect briefly on the promises of God and our assurance of life not only now, but also eternally. And finally, we'll reflect on the apocalyptic vision of John that you heard read this morning from the book of Revelation. Less familiar, perhaps, we're more often preaching about John than Revelation. That text assures us that at the close of time, there will be a new heaven and a new earth where God's realm will reign both now and for eternity. By way of backstory, let's imagine for a moment the world as the writers of the Bible experienced it. Belief in the afterlife preceded Christianity. Though the details across various religions and philosophies in the ancient world differ in story and detail, common threads precede the earliest stories of the Old Testament. Our earliest ancestors envisioned heaven as a celestial vault above the earth from which God rules creation. The Old Testament talks about creation as a three-storied universe with a hard firmament above. They didn't know about oxygen or gases. They thought it was a hard shell up there. The ancient ones imagined the earth as the center of all things with the heavens above and then the underworld beneath. The Old Testament most often imagines the souls of the dead below earth in Sheol. You hear that word in the Psalms. You descended into Sheol, a subterranean place for persons both good and evil. Later in Judaism, the resurrection of the dead and a heavenly realm began to appear in writing. The New Testament shapes our understanding of heaven in these three ways, as we've said. First, we know that Jesus believed that this earthly life was not the end of us. And he knew that the disciples did not believe that the earth, or this earthly life, was the end of us. That worldview is assumed when he teaches them to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." A heaven is assumed. God grants us this precious earthly life as an apprenticeship for eternity. We practice here the art of loving one another best we can, forgiving wrongdoings even when it's hard, for expressing gratitude even when we don't always feel grateful, so that when we do enter eternity with all the saints in light, we will recognize it. 200 years ago, a minister named Alexander McLaren wrote about our earthly life as but a portion of our eternal purpose. And he invites us to reflect on the fact that the caricature of heaven as eternity of idleness, just sitting by, doing nothing, floating on clouds, has no basis in Scripture. Instead, the New Testament conception unites the two thoughts of being with Christ and of service for Christ, with Christ for eternity and service for Christ. This blending is definitely set forth in the last chapter of Revelation, where we read those who serve him and see his face. So here, the life of contemplation and the life of active service are wielded together as not only compatible, but absolutely necessary for completeness. You thought you got to retire this side of heaven and you were all done, but no, you're going to still be busy when you get to the other side. If there is to be service there to the holy, the exercising ground for it is right here. That preacher said to his congregation one Sunday morning a couple of centuries ago what I believe to be true. I do not know what we are in this world for, unless it is to apprentice us for heaven. Life on earth is a bewilderment unless we are being trained here for a nobler work which endures, not only now, but also through eternity. Next, we reflect on more familiar territory, the comfort that Jesus offered to his disciples when he was preparing to leave this world. You know that I'm going to prepare a place for you, a place that has many rooms, or many mansions, or many houses, different versions say. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. The Apostle Paul assured us as believers that a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, awaited them. A century ago, theologians worried that as more and more scientific discoveries were made, it would widen the gap between faith and reason about such matters. But that's turned out not to be true. The countless near-death experiences of those who inexplicably return to us opens us to possibilities we had not thought possible, even skeptics, even atheists. We now can think of heaven as an alternate state, perhaps another dimension, a place where, given the miracle of modern medicine, hundreds of individuals have caught a first glimpse of life on the other side, giving us hope for what we cannot yet see. We don't know exactly what it will look like, but we trust it will be so. We're curious about what it will be like to spiritually connect with the brilliant and best part of our ancestors, no longer encumbered by sickness or by addiction or by suffering of any kind. When I presided at my grandmother's funeral, she who had a disintegrating spine for over 20 years and was in chronic, debilitating pain, I knew with clarity that she was set free to dance her way into heaven. We don't take cancer to heaven. We don't take heart disease to heaven. We don't take physical infirmities or sin or addiction or any other kind of suffering to the other side. Thanks be to God. While we long for that day when we will recognize one another heart to heart and unite in a spirit of love, we're not in a hurry. As I've shared with you before, I will always remember the words of my beloved mother-in-law, Hattie Lee Buckner. And I know my daughter and my husband are watching right now from far away. You remember, she said, "I'm ready to go home to Jesus, but I'm not homesick." Hattie Lee was a better theologian than she knew. We live ready to go home as it could happen anytime. It could happen today without any fear at all. We don't have to be afraid. That's the message of these scriptures, because we're loving each other fully. We're at work attending to the needs of our neighbors. We leave this place and extend acts of compassion and express generosity as fully and sacrificially as we can. And we practice forgiveness in a sometimes cold, self-centered, and greedy world. You see, heaven is here on earth as it is in heaven. And heaven is there waiting for us with all the saints in light when we die. And heaven is also then. Here, there, and then, when God unifies and heals heaven and earth at the close of history, at the close of the age, at the close of time, as Scripture says. The new heaven and the new earth at the end of time is visioned by Paul, or by John, I'm sorry, writing from a cave where he was exiled on what is now the Isle of Patmos in Greece. I've been in that cave. The Spirit comes down through it and blows through. You can't see it, but you can feel it, and the hair stands up on the back of your neck even now. More than two decades ago, Jeffrey Schaller, who was religious editor of U.S. News and World Report, wrote a featured article on heaven. Why did he do that? Because we're all going to die, and we all want to know. He included a conversation on heaven that's frequently overlooked, this last part, the then. He wrote, "The most vivid and familiar biblical images of heaven appear in that apocalyptic book of Revelation. It's there in the mystical vision of this prophet named John that we often find these versions of pearly gates and streets of gold and a white throne and throngs of saints and angels gathered around God at the culmination of history." The theologian N.T. Wright, who was the dean of the Anglican Church in Staffordshire, England, wrote that John's vision of what God will yet do isn't about us humans being snatched up from earth to heaven at the end of time. Now, I'm saying that because people come into my office with some regularity and say, "Is it okay to be cremated? How will I be taken up at the end of time if I've been cremated?" But that's not what this story is about. Rather, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, comes down from heaven to earth. God's space and ours finally marry, integrated at last. No matter goes away. It all still exists. I got that in my, scientific degree from Rutgers, of course. Just kidding. This is John's vision of the culmination of the Lord's Prayer, that the day will indeed come when it will be on earth as it is in heaven. Nothing can separate us from God. We know that. The book of Revelation is John's recorded visions written to seven of the earliest churches for their consolation and for their urgent encouragement to faithfulness while they yet live. He calls each church by name. He identifies their specific strengths and their failings and stuns them to action. Hold fast, repent, don't be afraid, don't be scared, depending on the church and its circumstance. He extends the promise of life for those who follow Christ's life and teaching. And he shakes the shoulders of those young churches through his visions to wake them up and get them to pay attention with a sense of urgency to change how they live in the here and now without fear. knowing that because Christ has come to reveal heaven to us, God's kingdom is now and always. Now, heaven isn't a city with streets paved with literal gold. I don't think. I haven't been there. But it will feel like it. It's a metaphor for the glorious dwelling place in the heart of the Holy One, where every tear will cease and every sorrow will dwell no more. In his book, Teaching Your Children About God, Rabbi David Wohl, professor of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, tells a story that gives us a hint of what this may be like. He recalls an ancient Jewish parable about twin fetuses lying together in the womb. One believes that there is a world beyond the womb where people walk upright, and there are mountains and seas and blue skies and stars as far as the eye can see in the heavens. The other can barely contain his contempt for such foolish ideas. Neither one has ever been there. They've never seen it. Suddenly, the believer is forced through the birth canal, leaving the only life that he's ever known. And the remaining one is saddened, convinced that a great catastrophe has befallen his companion. Outside the womb, however, the parents are rejoicing, for what the remaining brother left behind has just witnessed is not death, but life, birth. In a few moments, he too will be greatly surprised. This story, the rabbi reminds us, is a classic view of the afterlife, a birth into a world that on earth we can only try to imagine until we too experience eternity face to face. Today we've shared stories of heaven, stories of eternity, to receive the promises of God and hope for our future, this day and forevermore. Thanks be to God for all things. Amen.
I'm home.
In Psalm 62, it says that God is breathing room for our soul. And so I just want to invite us, before I begin to pray, before we pray, to take a deep breath in. Breathing in God's love for you. And just remembering that God is as close as our breath. And so when we think of heaven, heaven is not out there. Heaven is within us, God's presence dwelling in us. And so we breathe in God's love, and breath expands our lungs, just as God wants to expand our souls and our beings and our presence in this world. And then as we exhale, that breath becomes God's love embodied in this world. And so will you pray with me? God, thank you that you are not out there in a concept we read about, but you draw near to us. You drew near to us in Jesus. You wanted to come. You wanted people to experience you in flesh because you longed for us to know you so intimately. Jesus dwelled with us in flesh, and yet now we don't get to have you in the flesh, but you said you gave us your spirit, and your spirit dwells within us. As we breathe, we can remember we are constantly in need of breath. We are constantly in need of you. Our world needs your spirit of love. And so we know that there are people, even us, who sometimes feel fear. We feel separated from you. But as we breathe, we remember that your love wants to come in, wants to come in, wants to come in. You want to meet us in our places of need. And so we pause for a moment, just again recognizing there is need here in this room. There are places in us that feel broken. There are places in us that need healing. There are places in us that want to know your presence drawing near to us. And God, as we know ourselves as your beloved, we will embody this in the world. Love will grow. Love wants to expand. And so expand us so that we can live this out in the world as we go out from here. God, we remember the youth group this week. We remember Drew, Kelsey, who is normally up here on the stage, my son Silas, who is usually in the back with Dan, and the other youth who've set off today early in the morning to fly over to a place that we might think of as a vacation place, and yet there are people over there who need to know heaven on earth, who need to experience your love embodied by people in flesh. And so these youth get to go and experience you, your love. They get to embody your love, but they also will be loved by these people. And so as they give, as they serve, we just pray that you would be transforming lives, both the youth group and the people that they meet with and they serve and get to serve alongside in Black Point. Thank you that you see all of us. You see, you know, you hear our cries and our longings. You draw near to us. And again, we breathe in your love. And as we exhale, we recognize that your love wants to go, to flow out, to meet others. God, we want to pray together the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou art the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen.
You shall find gold, but I'm not that old, no, but I'm not that bold. I don't think the world is sold, I'm just doing what I'm told.
I feel something's so wrong, doing the right thing. I feel something's so wrong, doing the right thing. Good night, good night, good night.
Everything that kills me makes me feel alive. River, every turn, hope is our four-letter word. Make that money, watch it burn. Old, but I'm not that old. Young, but I'm not that bold. I don't think the world is sold. I'm just doing what we're told.
I feel something so wrong. Doing the right thing.
I could not. Everything that drowns me makes me wanna fly. Watch it burn, sink in the river, the lessons I've learned. Take that money, watch it burn, sink in the river, the lessons I've learned. Take that money, watch it burn, sink in the river, the lessons I've learned. Take that money, watch it burn, sink in the river, the lessons I've learned. Everything that kills me makes me feel alive.
May you continue to breathe in God's love for you. And may your roots go deep and deeper still into the love of God, who is with you, who is for you, and who is dwelling within you. Amen.
Don't you know about me?